Nothing But Net on the Voice of America. My name is Jackson Vunganyi,
joined by Mugbill Yabaro,
and we're here bringing you the third edition of the BAL playoffs that will be kicking off or tipping off in Kigali, Rwanda.
We are heading into a busy 2 weeks as we bring you coverage of the 2023 Basketball Africa League playoffs in Kigali, Rwanda. The playoffs will tip off this Saturday at the BK Arena in the capital. In a single elimination competition, the top eight teams from the Sahara, the Nile Conference stages of the league, which were held in Dakar, in Senegal and in Cairo, will face off. And then the victor at that point will be proclaimed the champion of the Basketball Africa League. And we are joined today from Kigali, Rwanda, by Peter Prinsloo, the captain of the Cape Town Tigers. The Tigers made their much-anticipated debut in Cairo, where they won, I guess it's two out of their five games, right? They won two and lost three games. Mugbill,
yep.
I think that's what it is. Prinsloo, thank you so much for joining us. How are you feeling today?
Well, thank you guys for having me. No, we feel good. We had some time to, you know, regroup after Cairo. Obviously, had a performance that we weren't completely satisfied with, but we, you know, the end goal was to qualify for Kigali.
And you qualified.
We gave away a game against Beta, especially, and then we realized that with certain teams, you have to play 40 minutes of complete basketball. So, you know, those are things we worked on just now when we were, you know, in our break between Cairo and Kigali. But no, we feel good and we're very confident going to Saturday.
Yeah. Well, what is the team spirit as you get ready for Saturday? How are you enjoying Kigali before we get into the basketball conversation?
Yeah, Kigali, it's a lovely place. I mean, I enjoy the weather. And it's just amazing to see how, you know, well-run things are and how clean it is out here. The hospitality, especially at the hotel, and how friendly people are. You know, you don't always see that in every part of the world you go to, especially as, you know, a pro basketball player. You get to certain countries where, you know, it's just not part of culture. People aren't very, you know, friendly, and kind of, especially to foreigners, they're not very fond of foreigners. Over here, it's a lovely experience. You know, they obviously take really well care of, you know, good care of us. And, you know, just to be able to enjoy the facilities between the KCC and between BK Arena, it's lovely. So, you know, it's a lovely experience. You know, guys are enjoying themselves. Me personally, you know, I'm you know, in a good mindset where everything around me is positive. So that kind of just helps keep you on a positive track.
Yeah, no, I like that perspective, man. Positivity is definitely key. Coming into this tournament, obviously you guys had aspirations and maybe things didn't go accordingly to plan, but you all still made it to Kigali, which is key. With your upcoming match with Stade Malien, what are you expecting and what have you guys learned from that conference that you were in, the Nile Conference, that you will be taking into this game?
No, the main thing that we understand is that we have to execute and, you know, stick to our game plan for 40 minutes. And against the Federby Avenue Beta, we were up for most of the game. And we had a significant, I think, about an 11-point lead with about 5 minutes to go in the game. And then we kind of threw it away because we weren't executing the way we're supposed to. So 35 minutes of good basketball got us a good lead, and then 5 minutes of bad basketball, not doing what we're supposed to, lost us the game. Same thing against Al Ahly, where the first 4 minutes of the first quarter and the first 4 minutes of the third quarter, we just weren't completely, you know, executing and doing what we're supposed to, and we gave up big, you know, runs to those teams, I believe, a 14-2 and like a 16-6, and that was the difference in the game, because if you look at the rest of the game, the other part, we actually beat them and outscored them and, you know, play the basketball the right way, but those times for it, you know, actually cost you basketball games. And, you know, in a tournament like this, where you're playing in a high-level competition, you have to play 40 minutes of basketball. A complete game is what's needed to win games. So going into this game against Stade Malien, we understand that at first, that we have to execute and stick to our game plan for 40 minutes and make sure we, you know, do what we're supposed to and what we've been practicing. And just that they are a very active young team. They are extremely athletic, and they love to get up and down. You know, got a lot of athletes and a lot of high-level energy guys. But they're also young, and that makes them prone to turning the ball over and, you know, making mistakes. They make a lot of mistakes on things where they're being forced. That just comes with experience, I guess, at a certain point for, you know, certain teams. Young guys tend to play a little bit out of control, especially when you're an athlete to a certain level, you know, take advantage of that sometimes, but also get you in trouble. And we understand going into our game that if we, you know, stick to our principles and, you know, really focus in on some of the guys and keep them out of, you know, transition like that, take care of the ball, and then play our defense to turn them over, and we're putting ourselves in a great position to win this game.
And one of the young guys that you have on your team is Zaire Wade, son to the legendary Dwayne Wade, who joined your team this year. How critical has he been to the team's success so far?
Yeah, he's a great player. A lot of people always look, you know, when they hear his name, they think of his dad. But what you got to understand about Z is he's not a shooting guard like his dad. He's a point guard. He's a great point guard, actually, and has great court vision. Young guy, so, you know, he's still got, time to mature. Because a lot of kids his age are still in university. You know, the guys are playing D1. But he's playing pro already. So there's a lot of expectations upon him. But he's really helped our team and given us that spark, that young energy, pushing the ball and, you know, making plays for other people and then making plays for himself as well when the opportunity comes. We saw the spark that he can give us and really the way he can provide offense for us in all aspects. So we're really excited to have him on our team this year, and the thing that he does for us, because it gives us a changeup from when we played Mike Benninger at point guard. He's been much more in control, run the system, get into our offense, and Zaire kind of pushes the pace a lot more and gets us out and really gets guys running and creating easy shots for guys where they don't have to do a lot of work. They kind of just have to finish or, catch and shoot. So, when you have a young point guard like that who pushes the pace, it kind of makes everybody else pick up their speed a little bit as well, get guys into a rhythm.
Yeah, no, Peter, we've spoken about this in the past, and you can see it, honestly, game after game as the team continues to play together. The continuity and the chemistry continues to grow. Do you think that maybe in the next couple of seasons, the BAL should kind of extend the time that the teams get to prep and maybe train together a little bit so that you can develop that team chemistry?
It's not just about the time to prep. Really build team chemistry a lot of times, and from my experience overseas, is longer seasons. It's obviously BAL is still very much in its infancy, and that's why they have the two windows plus the playoffs. But as they continue along, either having more windows or having more of a complete season the way many countries do, where you're playing continuous games, one or two games a week over a 5 to 8 month time period, it really helps create that advantage for teams because they're playing games together and practicing together, and you're learning from your mistakes and just building chemistry more as a unit. Where in many seasons that you see overseas, especially the high level leagues with long seasons, certain teams might start off slow because there's a lack of chemistry or they don't completely play well together just yet. And then once they start putting things together, it creates a steamroll effect, and now teams start winning multiple games, and now they really put themselves in a good position. We even see the NBA teams that start off slow, and by middle of the season they're a mid-pack team, and by the end of the season they're top three, top four in record. So that's really a key going forward with the BAL. And you understand at this point that the league is still very young, so they're still building that process. But I think that's going to create a big positive aspect to the league and to teams. The longer the league goes, the more time the team is able to spend together playing games, not just practicing, but playing games against the other competition in the league, to really help teams build chemistry and create that cohesiveness where now they're on the same page in all aspects and they really understand how their teammates play to give them the best possibility of winning.
Now, Peter, before I ask you what your team is doing to prepare for the big matchup with Stade Malien in the opening match on Saturday, I wanted to bring you here in the U.S., in the NBA, your favorite team, the Sixers, were eliminated in the Eastern Conference semifinals. Let's get your thoughts on how their season ended and your guy Embiid getting that MVP trophy.
It was great to see Joel get the MVP, and obviously seeing how much it means for him. I thought he should have got it last year, but it's how things happen. But it's kind of disappointing that we knocked out by the Celtics, and I think it just comes down to execution and how things were run. The Celtics actually had a very good game plan in terms of holding Joel and, you know, intact and, you know, kind of slowing him down, throwing multiple bodies at him and a lot of double teams. So, you know, it kind of really slowed down his productivity during the playoffs. And, you know, everybody knows that during playoff basketball, things slow down and it's a lot more focused because you're playing seven consecutive games possibly against the same team. So, you know, and many times, you know, that comes down to either players making adjustments or, you know, the coaching staff making adjustments. And the necessary adjustments weren't made at the right time. You know, we had a 3-2 lead going back home to Philly. And, you know, we blew it. So hopefully, you know, now we can see what is needed and make the push for next year. But it's disappointing to see because, you know, there's been multiple seasons now. We were, you know, first, second round of the playoffs and then, you know, we end up falling out. We had you know, the year where we the shot with Kawhi and you know, then everything else was going on. So maybe, you know, then obviously the thing already got rid of Doc Rivers, you know, maybe a different coach and a different, you know, type of you know, outlook will change things. But, you know, at some point guys have to make plays and perform as well. So
absolutely.
Shout out, you know, give credit to the Celtics for credit to see they, you know, really had a good game on the phone with down, and you know, it would have been good to see us in the I was predicting a Sixers Lakers final, but maybe next year.
So just on that point, predictions. Who do you think is gonna make it out of both conferences and finally win?
The way I look at it now, I think it's gonna be a repeat of what happened in the bubble. It's gonna be a Heat Lakers matchup again. I think that's where we're going with this one. So I know the Lakers lost game one against the Nuggets, but I think they'll figure it out. And I think LeBron has one more year left in his system where he's really going to make that push to, you know, solidify himself on that Mount Rushmore and, you know, where people view him on the all-time greatness list. So, I'm going with a repeat of the bubble final with the Heat Lakers.
Yes, sir. I like that. Okay, so let's get to the Basketball Africa League. You're playing your first game in the playoffs tomorrow. What have you as a team done to prepare for the big matchup with Stade Malien, aside from, say, watching tape, maybe?
You know, obviously, like you said, watching tape and understanding who they are as a team, you know, individual scouting and seeing what the players are, the key players, what they do and how they go. But then also, like I said, you know, we just kind of tweak those things and really focus on what we got to do. You know, the games that we lost, there was errors that, you know, accumulated throughout the game, not boxing out, not rebounding well. We are a smaller team in terms of overall size. And so, you know, we got to box out every possession to make sure that we rebound well and not, you know, don't give up offensive rebounds. And taking care of the ball. You know, we're a team that when we take care of the ball, run our offense, we get good shots. And, you know, we get good looks. You got guys that can put the ball in the basket. But you have to get the ball in the right spot and, you know, have it in your hands to get those opportunities. So that's really been our big focus, is understanding that from the games that we won, you know, if we do what we're supposed to do and play Cape Town Tigers basketball, then it's hard for the teams to beat us. It's when we stray away from what we're supposed to do that, you know, we give other teams the opportunities to have success against us. And, you know, those are the games we lost. Outside of, you know, Petro had that was a game that I feel, you know, maybe it was just one of those games that happens and sometimes isn't needed. But, you know, we saw it against Ali and Baylor that, you know, the small spurts where we didn't do what we're supposed to do cost us the game. And we know that it's playoff basketball here. Mm-hmm. 30 minutes of basketball for each one of the game. It's three games to win a championship. So we just we're focusing on the small things that we need to do. We know that, you know, other teams are going to bring their system and everybody coming in here with the mentality to win. But we know that if we do what we're supposed to, then it's hard for teams to beat us.
Staying with the fundamentals.
You know,
absolutely, no. I definitely think that you guys have all the keys. Like you mentioned, all you have to do is just stick to the game plan. You guys were in it every single game that you played.
Yeah.
Peter Prinsloo, captain of the Cape Town Tigers, it's been a pleasure, man. Best of luck to you guys on Saturday. And yeah, man, we're excited to see you guys ball out in Kigali.
Absolutely. Peter, actually, I before I let you go, I just had one more question just to get your feel of, or your assessment of how the game has changed in the last 3 years. This is the third season of the Basketball Africa League, and you know you guys coming as this is your debut season. But overall, what has changed that has really impressed you as to the progress of the game on the continent, whether it's the interest, whether it's in the organization, what, whether just in the skill levels of the players on the courts?
You know, you can really see the attention that the league has. You know, outside of the fact that you've seen the level of play increase, obviously now certain teams are, you know, together the whole time. When even when BL's not going on, some of these teams are playing in their leagues. You know, I know Rwanda's league, you know, the guys that are playing for Red also playing the Pro League in Rwanda. With Cape Town Tigers, you know, we've had the qualifying process the whole time. So from August to December, we were together. Now, you know, again, from February until, you know, June. And now going back, a lot of the guys, African guys that don't go play outside, you know, like myself, are going to be playing in the South African Pro League, which is getting a big push again because of what the BAL is bringing. You know, you see that the just the focus and, you know, the advertising and the popularity and market that's been, you know, given into this sport again in Africa. I know some other countries have experienced the same thing, but especially in South Africa, the popularity of the sport and how many people are getting involved, and, you know, how people are supporting us and what's really going into everything about basketball has increased so much. You know, when I first got to South Africa, when we were making our first attempt to qualify, nobody really knew who we are. And, you know, now it's walking anywhere. You know, a lot of times you get recognized the way it is in many countries where basketball is a very popular sport. So, you know, it's the increase in awareness and popularity and overall projection of the sport on the continent is increasing tremendously with what the BAL is doing. And along with that, you're seeing the increase in talent level that teams are bringing, you know, to the teams, and also just the level of play increasing by all the players, how players from certain countries are just improving year by year. You can see it.
Yeah.
And that's because of the BAL and the, you know, attention that's being put onto the sport. So it's great for the sport, and I can't wait to see what this is going to do for the whole sport across the continent in the next, you know, 5 to 10 years.
Absolutely. Peter Prinsloo, captain of the Cape Town Tigers, best of luck on Saturday as you play your first match against Stade Malien. Thank you so much for joining us today here on Nothing But Net.
Thank you guys for having me, and I hope to be in touch again soon.
Thank you.
Kigali, we are here for the BAL Finals. For the best of African basketball. The Sahara and Nile Conference delivered their verdict. Top 8 teams on the continent are chasing the Holy Grail. Who will be the next BAL champion? It's game time.
It's Nothing But Net right here on The Voice of America. My name is Jackson Vunganyi. I'm here with Mokbill Yaboro. So Mokbill, playoffs start on Saturday. This weekend is going to be busy in Kigali, Rwanda. Everybody's looking for that trophy. My guy, break down for us how this leg of the tournament will play out.
So we know the Nile Conference and the Sahara Conference had four teams advance to Kigali on both sides. So the first seed will play the fourth seed on opposite conferences, and then they'll trickle downward. So we'll have Stade Malien versus Cape Town Tigers, as we just spoke to the captain of the Cape Town Tigers, Peter Prinsloo. They qualified last in that conference. We will have then Al Ahly versus Rwanda Energy Group. Al Ahly is a very powerful team. Rwanda Energy Group also played well, but, you know, they have the home court advantage.
Yes.
So we'll see how that goes. Then you have AS Douanes from Dakar versus Club Favelio de Beira, the Mozambican team. That's a very good matchup,
absolutely,
I think.
Absolutely, almost on equal footing.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then last but definitely not least, Petro de Luanda versus ABC Fighters. Coach Liz Mills and the team are going to be going against the Angolan Giants. To me, it's like that's going to be a very, very difficult game for ABC.
Absolutely. Very difficult game for ABC, but Coach Liz Mills has always been confident that her team is prepared for the playoffs. okay, this is the third playoffs of the BAL. Which teams are you looking at as the front runners to take the trophy?
Just simply from production and what I've seen in the conferences, Petro de Luanda looks almost unstoppable. They did have a hiccup of a game against Al Ahly that showed that they are in that conversation. The game went all the way down to the wire. We saw a buzzer beater with Petro, but I feel like Petro kind of let them back in the game, but they kind of, just like Peter was saying, changed their game style or kind of got too comfortable in the game, and then they kind of let Al Ahly back in the game. But I think Petro de Luanda is looking like the most dominant and most well put together. My boy Prince Nesta loves to say, well oiled machine.
Absolutely, so. Totally agree with you. They have, you know, some of the best players on the continent, really. Whoever has, it's a resourceful team, it's an institution, and just by looking at how many top level players that they've been able to recruit on their team.
Yeah.
Just simply having
that history, right?
Yeah.
You know, Angola and just like Egypt as well. The teams that have had the longest history in their country for the game are usually the ones that are just more successful, just because the people have bought into the game.
Right.
The crowd is there. The fan base is there. And just, you know, understanding that you've been playing the game just from the start as a young kid, it's not a random thing to know that an Angolan is playing basketball at a young age, like 5-6 years old.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whereas in other parts of the country or on other parts of the continent,
yes.
We should say, the infrastructure maybe isn't there. Whereas football is you know, highly accessible for
absolutely.
Everybody.
Absolutely, and we've seen a lot of basketball infrastructure in the last couple of years starting to crop up around the continent. Many countries investing in basketball courts and other aspects of the game. I know that for countries like you say, like Angola, that are, you know, much better off or well off, you know, with great resources, you can attract great talent.
Absolutely.
And Angola has been able to attract and maintain that talent over the years. But as we head into the first game on Saturday, the first two games, actually, Stade Malien versus Cape Town Tigers, and then
Al Ahly
and REG, Rwanda Energy Group. Where is...
Man.
Your mind that in terms of who's going to win those critical matches, because again, it's a do or die type situation, correct?
Absolutely. So the interesting thing about it to me is there's a big difference between the Nile Conference and the Sahara Conference, just from the competitive nature. I feel like when it came to the Nile Conference, we saw that Petro and Al Ahly were kind of, you know, a little bit further off from the competition as it pertained to the rest of the teams,
right.
Even though the rest
in
of the team...
In terms of talent
in terms
productivity.
Of productivity. Even just from production and just execution more so, right? Because the talent level is there across the board. It's just executing. You can be talented, as Peter was saying. The Cape Town Tigers are a very talented team. You know, locking in for 40 minutes is really where it comes... That's the challenging thing.
Right.
So when you look
it comes down to chemistry now.
Yeah, it comes down to chemistry, but also just making sure that you stay in that mental fortitude, stay in locked in for that entire game.
Right.
You got three quarters, and then the last quarter, you're like, let me just chill a little bit. And then before you know it, everyone's back in the game,
gone,
you know?
Yes.
So I think when you look at, you know, the Sahara Conference, even though Stade Malien finished at the top, there were some games that they lost big. You know, there's some games that they really were blown out, and there's games where they blew other teams out. So that conference looked to me more like, you know, it was kind of a free-for-all. Anyone could have made it, you know.
Correct.
U.S. Monastir basically got knocked out because of goal differential. They had the exact same win count as anyone else. So Stade Malien, even though they are the number one seed from the other side, are they a true number one like Petro that kind of distanced themselves from everyone else? I really don't think so. They're a young team. They're fast. They're athletic. What they do well, they do well. But if you can slow the pace of the game down, I think Cape Town Tigers could be in the game.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. In case you're just joining us, this is Nothing But Nets on the Voice of America, special coverage of the Basketball Africa League, third season. My name is Jackson Vunganyi, Mokbil Yabaro. So, Mokbil, another big game, REG playing Al Ahly. another powerhouse on the continent. What does Reg need to do to actually get this win?
Reg needs to stop the young man Nooney.
Because
if Nooney has his way,
it's that, a blowout.
Man, that boy's trouble. Like Nooney has been one of my favorite players to watch the entire tournament, simply because he doesn't know when to turn it off. Like, he doesn't care. Like, he just does his thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it looks like he's going out there playing his style of basketball. Anytime you play him one-on-one, doesn't really matter.
Absolutely.
It's almost like he's playing in, I wouldn't say drills, but he kind of just goes at his own
Absolutely.
Pace. You
and
know?
That's so, what you said about having that locked-in mentality you're playing the game.
Yeah.
Those 40 minutes, just stay with it. Make sure that, you know, you don't lose focus.
He's always locked in. Even when he has some, like, not his best shooting performances, best believe he's taking it again. He's
Absolutely.
Still going to shoot.
Absolutely.
He's gonna
Absolutely.
Shoot. But let's not get it twisted. Reg is also a formidable opponent as well. And they have the luxury of having the home court advantage. You know that the stadium is going to be blaring, man.
Absolutely.
The Rwandan fans are going to be going crazy.
Absolutely.
So it's going to be filled to capacity. I know they're going to have, you know, special guests in the building. You know, Big Prezi might be there, you know.
He's a big supporter of the game.
Absolutely.
And speaking of that too, like, it's quite important that we mentioned that the previous conferences, the Sahara Conference and the Nile Conference, mm-hmm. both of them really had half empty arenas, really. And that in the past, we've seen Kigali has been very successful in bringing the fans to the, you know, fill up the seats. And that could be the game changer for the home team when you have full house, everybody supporting you, noise up, everybody, you know, this is a critical hour, you know what you need to do.
I think even AS Douan for the Sahara Conference, they noticed that initially they, you know, first couple of games might not have been max capacity, right? But when they started getting the fans in, it allowed the team also to be more successful.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, we're saying that the fan base is showcasing, you know, if the fans show up, the home team has that extra advantage. And we saw it in Cairo, too, for that Petro game, where that one was a relatively full stadium
absolutely.
Because they understood the magnitude of those two teams playing against each other. And they really were assisting in you know, pushing them over the edge.
Absolutely. And it came down to the wire.
Honestly speaking, if the fans weren't there, you know, Petro could have ran away with it. So,
absolutely.
So it goes to show you how important it is for the fans, the REG fans, to really show up. Honestly, all the fans in Rwanda to show up and fill out for REG to potentially be able to get that first
Absolutely.
Win and then move it forward.
Absolutely. But then your money is on Petro and El Ahly having that, you know, again, and
man,
finals.
Honestly speaking, I really like Stade Malien too, though. So Stade Malien.
That's quite a surprise.
Yeah, the youngsters, man. The thing is, I you know, early on in the season, I seen what these young kids were doing. You know, they were it's their first season. It's a debutant team as well. For them to pop into the tournament and for people to, you know, kind of dismiss them because they didn't have that experience. And a relatively young team led by three youngsters, 22, 21, and 19-year-old, are their top three production guys.
Yeah.
One BAL Elevate, young man, Ruben Chinyelu, that
Chinyelu,
we spoke about.
Yes.
So it's going to be exciting to see them. If they can lock in and just run and play their game, it's going to be a very long night for Cape Town. But Peter Prinsloo and the gang also have a thought process and a plan to go in against them. So
they're not going to make it easy. They're not
going to
be easy.
It's anyone's game, man.
That's what the playoffs are about,
right.
And that's what we're about right here on Nothing But Net. I'm Jackson Vunganyi. Thank you so much for joining us with my guy Mokbel Yabaro. We'll catch you again next Thursday. Mokbel will be here back with us. Sonny will be back in the house, is that correct?
Sonny will be back in.
Yeah.
Yes, I believe if you want to be back in, we're back
I
in.
I want to be back in.
Yeah, no,
this has been fun.
It's going to be great. We'll have some updates for you next week, and we'll be back next time.
Absolutely. And remember to connect with us at voaafrica.com. You can watch the matches live, live analysis. I'll be in studio on Saturday bringing you the game live between Stade Malien and Cape Town Tigers. voaafrica.com. Jackson Funganyi,
Mokbel
Yabaro. We out.
Peace.